I want to come back to a proverb that the Lord has really just been hitting me with over the last several weeks. I had a specific proverb this past week that kind of popped up four or five times, and I'd like to preach a message on that soon. But this passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 2 is really the passage of Scripture that God is showing me about paths. The Bible shows us probably 20 or 30 different times in the book of Proverbs this word path or paths. And it's so important because sometimes we think, well, it really, you know, it's not a big deal what decision I make here. Or, you know, it's not, I mean, who's it going to affect this decision that I make? And the book of Proverbs has a lot to do that your decisions have a lot to do with where you're going to end up. All of our decisions put us in a direction, and all of our directions end us at a destination. And so when you make a bad decision, it puts you in a bad direction. And when you're in a bad direction, you're daily just walking down that path that is wrong. And there are consequences for that. There are certain consequences for choosing wrong. And this passage of Scripture kind of wraps all of that thought into one passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today. But Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 26, let's just flip over there real quick. This is kind of the theme verse, I guess you would say, of the path verses. If you're talking about where you're going to take somebody to just get their mind focused on what path are you choosing? A husband with his wife, what choices are you making as a husband is going to determine what kind of marriage you have. The decisions you make as a father are going to decide the life that your children are going to live. The decisions you make as an employee are going to affect whether you're going to provide for your family or not. The decisions I make as a pastor affect a lot of people. And so you understand the idea that the foot that you put your the path you put your foot on, the direction that you set, the decision that you make right from the start of that decision-making process is going to really kind of just frame and shape everything else that goes along in that area. And so in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 26, it says this, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Ponder. To observe, to take a moment, to really dissect. Don't just make flippant decisions. Ponder that decision. Pray over that decision. Really think, what path am I going to put my foot down on? Where am I going in this area? I know people today, their whole entire philosophy of life is based on something they did as a child. Something that happened to them as a child. Something they're bitter today because of something that happened in their past. They're wandering around, it seems like, on the path of life rather than a purpose and a direction because they're still holding on to something from the past. And the Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet. Listen, if you're on the wrong path, why don't you admit it and get off of that path? The Bible says, ponder the path of your feet. Where are you walking? You say, I'm not a very good husband. Well, you can be. Amen. Yeah, I'm not a very good mom. Well, you can be. Well, we're not very good parents. Well, you can be. I believe you can be a good husband. I believe you can have a good marriage. I believe that we can have a good church. I believe that we can have a good school. You say, well, back in 1985, something happened in the school and I didn't like it. Well, hey, let me just give you a bulletin announcement here. It's not 1985. And if the school was bad here or there or something happened that you didn't like, it doesn't mean that that's still happening. Because you have leadership that is pondering the path of our feet. And when we see something that is not right, we get off of that path. And it's not always, and there's certainly things to fix. The reason I'm preaching today is because we all have things that we can fix. We all have things that we can improve. We all have things that we can say, man, I'm not being a very good employee. I'm not being a very good boss. I'm not being a very good church member. I'm not being a very good husband. I'm not being a very good wife. Hey, we could all have those things today, and that's the reason for the message. Ponder the path of your feet. Where are you walking? What decisions are you making? Where are you setting your foot down? And what direction have you put yourself in? Well, it's time to stop and step back into service and talk about the path of life. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2 there in verse number 1. I love the personableness of Proverbs. He says, my son. This is not something that is just generalized and whoever wants to listen in. Solomon is writing to his son. He is saying, son, listen up. I want to set you in a direction for life. I want you to make the right decisions to get on that direction. I want you to be end up at the right destination. I want you to inherit the right kind of heritage. I want you to pass on to the next generation something that is valuable and irreplaceable. I want you to be what God wants you to be. He says, my son. He calls him by name. He says, listen to me. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. And I want you to underline this phrase, yea, every good path. Yea, every good path. How many would raise your hand as a public testimony today and say, I'd like to make good decisions in life? Sure, we all would. I mean, that's unanimous. No, I'd really like to mess things up, preacher. I would just like to send my family in a tailspin. Man, I'd really like to just find myself drowning in debt. I want to make some bad decisions. No, we all want to make good decisions. We all want to be found to have success, as the Bible says. We want to be successful monetarily. We want to be successful educationally, emotionally. We want to be successful in our relationships. We probably want to be successful in our spiritual lives, obviously. And all of these things that we want to be a success in, the Bible says, you can have understanding in these things. And then it says this, yes, every single good path you can get the understanding for. What job should I get? You follow these steps today, it'll tell you what job to take. What kind of wife should I be? You follow these steps, you'll be a good wife. You follow these steps, you'll be a good husband. You follow these steps, you'll be good parents. You will set your foot on a good path. But can I tell you something about this word good? I love this word good. If you were to look this up in the Webster 1828 dictionary, you would find that there are 60 definitions of the word good. 60. And yes, I looked at every single one of them. There's adverb definitions and adjective definitions and there's noun definitions, and it is an amazing word. But in the original language, guess what other word they could have put there? It is the same exact word in your Bible. If you were to find the word better in your Bible, it would be this word good. It's the same word in the original language. So you might want the good path. Maybe you say, no, I want a better path than what I'm on. Do you know what other word that they could have put here from the original language is also the same exact word in your Bible? It's the word best. It could have been good. Yea, every good path. Yea, every better path. Yea, every best path that God has for you. They could have put any three of those words out. Now, God had it interpreted and God brought it into the English language by the word good, which is fine. But anywhere else you find that word in your Bible, it's good, it's better, or it's best. And all I'm saying to you today is you do not have to settle for average. You do not have to settle for mediocre. You don't have to settle for a mediocre church. You don't have to settle for a mediocre marriage. You don't have to settle for a mediocre child. You don't have to settle for a mediocre home. You don't have to settle for a mediocre Sunday school class. You don't have to have a mediocre outreach program. You don't have to have a mediocre bus route. You don't have to have a mediocre business. God says if you will follow His plan, you can have a good path for that thing. You can have a better path than anybody else. You can have, yea, the best path that God has. Maybe like the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God in that area of life. I don't know about you. I want God's good. I want God's better. I want God's best in my life. And I might not always choose the best path. But I want to choose God's good path. I might always have made the best choice that I could have made, but I can make a good choice because it's in the will of God and God's desire in that area. The decision I make. But there are some prerequisites. There are some requirements that come before you understand what path to take. You don't just get to walk up to a decision of life and say, you know what, I'm just going to roll some dice here. If it's a 5, I'm going this way. If it's a 2, I'm going that way. That's not how the will of God works. It's not a chance. I hear people say sometimes, boy, am I lucky. No, you're not. If you are in God's will, you are blessed. If you're in God's will today and you have children that love the Lord and you have a marriage headed in the right direction and you belong to this church that's headed in the right direction and your ministry is flourishing, can I tell you today, you have found the good path. I want that better path. I want the best path. But you don't get that by accident. You don't get that by just showing up. You don't get that by just being a child of God. Well, I got saved. Saved is good. Saved is great. But I'm not talking about future. I'm not talking about when you take your last breath. I'm not talking when you see Jesus face to face. He's left you here, and there is a life He has you to live, and He calls it His will, and He has a will for you. Every single person has a purpose. We're supposed to be fulfilling that. We're supposed to find the good path. We're supposed to be on that better path than we used to be. We're supposed to be on the very best path that God has for us in that area. But there are prerequisites. Pre-requirements. Steps of preparation. I read a great illustration. It said Jeanette Bruce was a writer for Sports Illustrated back in the late 80s. Concerned she had just moved to New York City and concerned about the crime in New York, she took up judo and karate both. She was not going to be taken advantage of by anybody. So she learned the kicks. She learned the pressure holds. She learned the punches. By the time she was done with her training, she had qualified as an expert in both martial arts, judo and karate. This is not a woman you would want to mess with. Somebody wanted to mess with her. She went through some pre-requirements to be able to take care of herself. So one night she was leaving the office late and she was going through the parking garage when a purse snatcher tried to snatch her purse. So with all of her training, she hit him over the head with her umbrella 6 times and knocked him out. She was ready, man. She just used her umbrella. I thought that was a funny illustration. But I like this phrase, then shalt thou understand. Then shalt... You know, it's almost like Solomon saying, my son, you don't get to go on the throne and rule the right way and make the right decisions because you're my son. He says, then, when you do these things, when you go through these requirements, then thou shalt understand. I love that. I love the fact that the Bible shows me that if I study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that I can be a man of God, that I can be the person that God wants me to be, throughly furnished unto all good works. I can be what God wants me to be and do what God wants me to do with my life. But I've got to learn some things. I've got to go through some stuff. I mean, when I was 15 years old, I knew everything. I'm telling you, I was the smartest 15-year-old you ever met. I knew some stuff. My parents didn't know anything. 15? Genius. Man, I got dumber as I got older. I'm figuring out one thing I know is I don't know everything. But guess what? The Bible says there's a point where I can come to understand what decision I should make in this situation. I like that. I like that God says there is a finish line. There is a goal in mind. And the goal is to understand what to do in this situation. To understand what kind of man I should be. What kind of friend I ought to be. What kind of husband and father. And if God makes me a grandparent someday, what kind of grandparent I should be. What kind of pastor I should be. What kind of school administrator I should be. What kind of boss I should be to other employees. What kind of servant of God should I be. God says, I can understand. I can get it way down in my heart and really be convinced of what I should do and how I should do it. But I've got to go through the requirements. I don't get it because I'm pastor. I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean anything. That means you got the world staring at you to do the right thing. Now the world's looking at you and saying, wait a second, don't you go to church? Wait a second, didn't you say you're saved? Aren't you one of those Christian people? That doesn't mean you automatically start doing the right thing. You got to go through the requirements. It's kind of like understanding the words that women use. I've done a study. And after 16 years of marriage, I have a little bit of understanding when a woman uses a word, what it really means. You know what we call that? We call that understanding. For example, when a woman says the word fine, this is a word that women use to end an argument when they are right. And you better shut up. Fine. I've learned it. 16 years. It only took me 16 years. 7 frying pans later, I have some understanding what these words mean. If a woman says 5 minutes, I need 5 minutes. If she is getting dressed, it means a half an hour. If 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you have just been given 5 more minutes to watch the game you're watching before doing something that she asked you to do. That's the only time that 5 minutes means 5 minutes. Am I right, men? It only took me 16 years. When a woman uses the word nothing. This is the calm before the storm. This word, nothing, means something. And you should, for the next several minutes or hours, be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing usually end in fine. I've learned the word go ahead. Go ahead. When I was young married, I thought my wife just gave me permission. I'm out of here. She said go ahead. That is not what go ahead means. This is a dare. This is not permission. Do not do it. I am trying to help your marriage. We're already starting our marriage series here this morning. have found a loud sigh is a word. A loud sigh. This is actually a word. But it is a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by most men. A loud sigh means she thinks you're an idiot and wonders why she is wasting her time standing here and arguing with you about nothing. And if you want to know what that means, refer back to number three, the word nothing. The sixth word I've learned in 16 years is, that's okay. This is one of the most dangerous statements a woman has ever made. It's one of the most dangerous things that she can say to a man. That's okay. Because this means she wants you to think long and hard before deciding how and when you are going to pay for your mistake. She's going to take her time before you pay for it. If a woman says thanks, she is thanking you. Do not question her. Do not faint. Repeat these words. You are welcome. Try it, men. You are welcome. There you go. A woman says thanks. If a woman says, don't worry about it, I got it. This is bad. It's another dangerous statement. The meaning is that this is something that a woman has told a man to do several times. But she is now doing it herself. This will result in a man asking his beautiful wife, what's wrong? Which she will then respond, nothing. And if you want to know what that means, go back to number three. And just realize, unless they say the word thank you, you are in trouble. Takes understanding. Takes time. None of those phrases ever meant those things 16 years ago. After 16 years, I am starting to understand. But you know, that's the way life is. That's the way the will of God is. We're so oblivious sometimes to what God really wants us to do. We think because we're saved, we can just do whatever. That God doesn't really expect me to be uncomfortable. God doesn't expect me to sacrifice. You read the Bible and you think, well, that was good for Joseph. Yeah, I mean, Joseph, he's a great guy. Daniel, man, lion's den, whoo! What a warrior, man. That guy was amazing. Never understanding that God has written this book for our admonition, for our correction, for our lifting and building, knocking us down, building us up. That's what the Bible's for. So when the Bible says you can have understanding and righteousness and judgment and equity, yes, every good path, that is for you this morning. That is for me this morning. That I can actually make the right decisions in life. So let's go through the requirements. Number one, verse number one. We must be receptive to what God has for us. If thou wilt receive my words. God is looking at his children today in this room and he's saying, listen, I want you to have the good path. I want the best for you. I want a better path than what you're on right now. I really want you to succeed. But the choice is yours. It's your choice. Aren't you glad that God made people and not puppets? That God made people that have choices and we are not robots? That we have a choice to make today to receive and be receptive of the things that God has for us. So when the Bible is being spoken, when the Bible is being read, you have a choice. Receive or reject. I know sometimes I preach and I visibly see it on people's face, and not a rebellious spirit, but just a, no thank you. That might be good for your family, preacher, but we got some issues. That wouldn't work for me. I mean, you don't understand my finances. I mean, it's probably good for you, preacher. You make a lot of money. The last three suits I have worn have been bought for me because I could not buy them. Praise the Lord. But I know this. I have a choice to make when I see God's Word. When God says, husbands, dwell with your wives in knowledge, that means to learn the intricacies and everything about your wife that you could possibly know. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, a sacrificial, selfless love. I see some husbands and they'll go, yeah, you don't understand who my wife is. You don't know that woman. I mean, love? I don't even like her, let alone love her. You don't know all her faults and failures. Can I guess that her faults and failures are probably just like yours, sinners saved by grace? And when God looked down and saw you and saw what he wanted to do with this living, breathing organism called the church, the body of Christ, he said, man, Matt Swender is going to be an awful person. He is going to be a sinner. He is going to say some things he ought never to say, look at things he ought never to look at. He's going to act out in anger. He's going to be rebellious. He's going to be mischievous. He's going to sin and sin and sin. I'll pay for his debt. I'll die on the cross for him. So when the Bible tells you to love your wife like Christ loved the church, you better get a good view of that and receive that. Because the first step to getting on the good path that God has for you, the better path that God has for you, the best path that God has for you, is when God says something, you say, yes, sir. Here am I. Woe is me. For I am undone. Don't sit in service and say, I hope so-and-so's listening. Boy, I hope my wife's getting this. I hope my husband's cluing in. Woe is me. For I am undone. Reject or receive. Isn't it amazing? The very first choice that God says to get on the path is your choice, not his. The very first requirement, he says, on this thing of getting on his path, understanding the right thing to do it, understanding the wrong things of life, understanding how to be fair towards others and fair towards the areas that God's put you in, the path that he wants you to get on in this area, the very first requirement is a choice that you have to make. So many times we think it's God's choice. If God would just listen, if God would just hear me, if God would just respond, if God would just change her, if God would just change him, if God would just change the boss, if God would just change the situation, if God would just do something better for me, if God would give me more. He says that's not the first requirement to getting on the right path. The first thing to do in getting on the right path is your choice. When he tells you the hard things that you're about to hear, you've already decided you're going to receive them. See, a lot of times as God's people, I think we play this game. All right, I'm going to listen to what God's saying, and then I'm going to make my choice. And that's not how God works. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. He hasn't even told us anything. I mean, tell us something. Like, okay, Dad, I hear you. Okay, God, I hear you. You want me to get on the good path. All right, tell me what to do. No. I'm not telling you what to do yet. Are you going to do what I say? We're not figuring out if it's going to work out for my best before I decide I'm going to do it. I'm going to decide to do it whether it works out for me or not. Because God said it. And that is the message for this morning. You say, that's short and that's easy. Oh, it might be simple to understand. But it is never easy to make the pre-choice that I am going to do everything that God tells me to do. When God says, when God's people get together, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Some of you have waited and you're making that choice based on your circumstances, based on what you got going on, based on, we got church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're kind of deciding, well, I'm busy and I got stuff and my work schedule and everything. I can't tell them no. And no, God says, you make the choice to receive my words. Then the preacher gets up and says something. You go, oh man, that's in the Bible. And that's rightly divided. And that's the truth. But guess what? If you already chose to obey the truth, it makes it a lot less hard to follow through and do what God says. That's all I say to you this morning is, it's a great life to live for God. But you are not a puppet. And I would never want to make you a puppet. And God would never, since the beginning of time, He made man in the image of God with body, soul, and spirit. And if you're in Christ today, your spirit is alive. And here's the greatest thing, the choice is yours. You can use that liberty as a license and a cloak of maliciousness. Or you can use that liberty that God's given you by being saved and on your way to heaven. To say, no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what path He presents me with, oh, that one looks bumpy. That one's filled with obstacles. That one doesn't look like it's as easy as that one. You already made the choice that when God says it, and it comes from God's word, and God says you're to do it, and God challenges your heart, and God convicts your heart, you already made the choice to get to that altar, to get beside your couch, to lay on your bed, to go to your spouse, to go to the preacher, to go to a friend, say, you know what? I told God that I was all in. He gave me the choice. I didn't have to do it. I could be saved so as by fire. I could go to heaven and not blink an eye for God in all my life after I'm saved. I will be saved so as by fire. But I decided I want to be what God wants me to be. And I want to get on the path He wants me on. And I made that choice long before I figured out He wants 10%. He wants me there every service. He wants me to listen to what? He wants me involved in what ministry? See, those things you'll be able to take a little better when you are decided, Lord, I'm your child. And I choose to receive, not reject. Would you stand together with me this morning?